and from YWAM, and it's awesome to see you. And maybe next week we'll get you to share a little bit, okay, in the morning? Or was I? And then this young fellow, he gave his heart to the Lord on January the 7th, and he is going to YWAM. For how long? From April to August. Talk about getting saved and getting right into the discipleship mode right away. Isn't that great? So we will also lay hands on you and pray for you next week as well. And so we'll hear from Tiffany, and we'll pray for you, and God is good. Amen? From where? Thompson, welcome. I've been in Thompson, Manitoba. And yeah, it's awesome. We left here one day, and we drove right from here. It took us about 2 days, I guess, and we drove to Thompson, and we went to a little church there, and I remember we ate at the Boston Pizza, and when we were in the Boston Pizza up there, we met someone from North Bay in the Boston Pizza, so isn't that something? So welcome. What church do you attend there? Welcome. So God is good. And this week was pretty awesome. You can begin if you know. And it was such a privilege to go to be in Ottawa with leaders who have a heart for God and have a heart for our province and have a heart for our nation. No compromise. I mean, like, the intensity of being with people who are so committed, who have walked with the Lord for a long time in leadership, was overwhelming, you know? There was no, it was intense. And we, it's interesting, it's not part of my message, but how many of you remember a number of years ago, where we had the procession of stones that went across Canada that ended up here before going to Ottawa. Does anyone remember that? Well, we discussed that, and the founders of the National House of Prayer, Rob Parker, walked from Winnipeg or from Calgary to Ottawa with the stones. And what the stones represented was one heart, because there's been a lot of one heart things in Canada, but one heart against anti-Semitism. And as he was walking to Ottawa, the Lord put upon his heart that there should be a national house of prayer within our country. And we encouraged him to write a book because of all the supernatural things that happened. The important thing was, I never realized all of this, but we are part of that history as Gateway Church. Okay, we had one heart people from all over the nation that were here before we made the final trek to Ottawa, where we joined together as one heart. And that is very, very important, because sometimes we could always look at what God's doing here, God's doing there, what we don't have, what we don't. And you know what? His hand has always been upon this house. Amen. In an incredible way. In an incredible way. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for that. So last week, I preached the first message that I ever preached when I preached a call here at Gateway Church. And it's interesting, because last night I was sitting watching a hockey game, and I got an email from Colette Picard, and she lives in Bancroft now. And Colette, how many of you, Colette Picard's an awesome lady. And she says, thank you so much. I just listened to your message. So, you know what, that really encouraged me. And this morning, I'm going to preach a message that I shared once before as well. And it's called Palm Tree Christians. Palm Tree. And there's a number of reasons, because I want to be where palm trees are right now. And no, not really. And it's found in Psalm 92. And I'm going to carry on, and you could follow along in Psalm 92 as you open it. But this morning I'm going to share a message with you that will encourage you. And when I pray and I prepare for this day, I always want you to be encouraged. I want your spirits to be lifted up, and I want you to be encouraged. But I also don't want you just to be encouraged. I want you to be changed, and I want you to be transformed, and I want you to be strong disciples, and I want you to have a conviction in your heart so that salvation is on your radar, and divine healing is on your radar, and God's presence is on your radar, and that we are one in heart, and anything is possible with God. So it's not just a matter of you coming here because you had a rough week or stuff like this, and you're going to come and you're going to leave encouraged. But I want that as well. But I want us to be transformed into His image, into His presence. And I always want to be encouraged. How many of you love to be encouraged? How many of you know that you go through a week and it's like, oh my goodness, it's so negative, you know? I was watching the, you know what? I can't watch the news anymore. Like, the slant that they take, they could take the most beautiful situation, and they could take the most sunny day and put a negative slant on it. Like, oh my goodness, you know? There's always a conspiracy theory attached to everything when you, you know? And I need the word. It's true. You ever watch the news? Everything is a conspiracy theory. And then what happens is then I meet people, even Christians, who regurgitate the news back to me because they watch the 20-second snippet of the news. And I think, oh, no, I even know what station they probably watch, whatever slant it is. So let's get into the presence of God. Amen. So I always want to be encouraged. And the psalmist in Psalm 92 tells us that he is glad with the Lord. Are you glad with the Lord this morning? Like, are you glad in your spirit this morning? Are you encouraged that you know Jesus and Jesus knows you and that He loves you? So I read the Psalms, okay, because sometimes my spirit, I need to be encouraged in my spirit. And I read the Psalms, and the psalmist tells me here in Psalm 92 that he is glad with the Lord. It is good to make music to His name. Are we blessed? Are we blessed? He will sing for joy because of God's greatness. We open up our service on a Sunday morning, and I said, let's make sure that we always do everything to an audience of one. To an audience of one. We say that every week when we put the armor of God on, to an audience of one. And then I read this psalm, and he says, He will proclaim His love in the morning and His faithfulness at night. He says He will declare and make known the wonders of God. And I read this and I think, oh Lord, I want to make known the wonders of who You are to anyone who will listen. And to those who don't listen, You could do supernatural things so that they will listen. The Psalms are wonderful, amen? How many of you here this morning, you know, you're having a downer and you open up your Bible to the middle and it opens to a psalm and, man, this nugget just touches your heart. You know, they're wonderful. And the more you read, the more of God is revealed. You know, there's some of you here this morning that you know what? We went into a study this morning. It was a very, very powerful study. It's called Follow Jesus. And Andy Stanley, who was the preacher, man, there were thousands of people in this guy's church. I'm not jealous, but boy, it'd be sure nice to preach there. And he says, there's some people in the church. He says, some of you, you're consumers. He goes, you're not followers of God, you're consumers of God. And I said, oh, Lord. I said, let it not be that the people at Gateway Church are consumers of who You are, but we are followers and true followers of who You are. And you know what? The more you read, folks, the more you read, the more God is revealed to you. Okay? If you come here as a consumer looking for God without doing your part, guess what? You're going to be sadly disappointed. And when this happens, our dependence, when we're in the Lord, our dependence on things are not so important anymore. They become distant. Some of the things that fill your head, that confuse you, and that distract you from the Lord, when you develop a relationship with the Lord, they become distant. And He becomes beautiful, and He becomes glorious, and He becomes excellent to you. Okay? He becomes excellent to you. Can you say that with me? He becomes excellent to you. But you have a part to play in it. And the Psalms are wonderful. And this psalm was probably used in the temple on the Sabbath. And it celebrates the works of the Lord. It's about being thankful and faithful in everything that we do. And this is what the verse I want to look at. So if you're looking down at it, verse 6 says this. The senseless man does not know. Fools do not understand. They do not fear God nor consider His ways. But the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They grow like the cedar of Lebanon. You know what? I preached this text before and I love it. I love this imagery. I love the imagery. How many of you like imagery? I love the imagery of it. And the righteous will flourish like a palm tree, a beautiful palm tree, tall and free, upright and flourishing. So let's compare this morning a palm tree to the child of God. So how can you be a palm tree this morning? Amen? How many of you want to be a palm tree? Okay? A palm tree. So first, a palm tree. The roots of a palm tree, they go deep into the ground, into the earth, deep. The palm tree has great roots that make it strong. And the more we delight and meditate in God's presence, the stronger we become. The psalmist says in Psalm 1 that a godly person shall be planted by the streams of water. And then the palm tree, I don't know if you've ever been anywhere where you see palm trees, but it bends and it strains back and forth in the winds, the storms, all the time. Whole islands are taken out and you go back and the palm trees are still standing there. It continues to stand because it has deep roots. And it's the same with us this morning. It's the same with us. When we are rooted in Christ, we can stand in the winds of temptation, the storms of life. We can stand up against it. We can stand up against it. Amen? Because if we're going to be in one in heart like we were at this altar this morning where we're thinking that we're singing that song, one in heart because we care so deeply of what's happening in our province, in our nation, in our families, in our children, in our city. If we care so much that we have one in heart, passionate for Jesus, passionate for Jesus, the palm tree can stand up against enemies that threaten its life, the dryness, the burning heat of the sun, the animals that rub against its trunk, okay? Maybe you've heard the story of growing roots by Philip Gully. It goes like this. I had an old neighbor when I was growing up named Dr. Gibbs. Now, this doctor didn't look like any other doctor I've ever seen. Every time I saw him, he was wearing denim overalls and a straw hat. He smiled a lot. His smile matched his hat, old and well-worn. And when Dr. Gibbs wasn't saving lives, he was planting trees. His house sat on 10 acres, and his life goal was to make a forest. Now, the good doctor had some interesting theories. He came from the no pain, no gain school of horticulture. He never watered the new trees, which flew in the face of conventional wisdom. He said watering the trees spoiled them. And if you water them, each generation will grow weaker and weaker. He said watering the trees made for shallow roots. So he never watered the trees. He'd plant an oak, and instead of watering it every morning, he'd beat it with a rolled-up newspaper. He said it would get the tree's attention. 20 years later, Dr. Gibbs, long in glory, and his church were like granite strong, big and robust, and these trees wake up every morning and beat their chests and have their timmies black, okay? And Philip Gully, the teller of this story, he planted a couple of trees a few years back. carried water to them every day for a solid summer, sprayed them the whole nine yards. 2 years of coddling had resulted in trees that expect to be waited on hand and foot. Funny thing about those trees, of Dr. Gibbs, adversity seemed to benefit them in ways that comfort and ease could not. When we love him, he gives us deep roots. Amen? When we love him, he gives us deep roots. Secondly, the palm tree is upright. It's upright. The palm tree is known to grow to heights of 60 to 100 feet. The palm tree rears itself straight up in the air, erect, stately, and strong. And it is a fitting image of a person upright in conversation and upright in upright in character before the Lord. And thirdly, the palm tree is graceful. It is a symbol of grace and beauty. The biblical name Tamar is derived from the Hebrew word for the date palm and is an allusion to a woman's gracefulness. In the Old Testament, palm trees adorned the temple with which was for God's glory, and Jericho was called the city of palm trees and one of the most beautiful cities in the ancient world. Did you know that in heaven, saints, you are portrayed as those clothed in white robes with palms in their hands, the emblem of beauty and grace and victory? Oh my goodness, do you want to be a palm tree Christian this morning? Do you want to emulate those type of things to a community, to a nation, to a family, to people around us? Oh, I do so badly. Fourthly, the palm tree is an evergreen. Other trees, they turn dark and gray. Look out the window there. Pretty sad. Can't wait for the color to come back. And other trees, they turn gray and dark during the winter. But a palm tree, it holds its deep, deep color all through the year. It shows its color in all seasons. Paul, in 2 Timothy 4:2, he says, "Be prepared in season and out of season." And when we can say, I will be an evergreen, I will be like a palm tree, showing my colors at all times, can we say anytime, Lord, day or night, in summer, in winter, in darkness, in light, I will follow you in sickness, in health, in joy, in sorrow, in adversity, or in prosperity. I will be true to you this morning, Lord. I will walk like this. I will walk like a palm tree in righteousness and all of these things. Can we say that to him? Praise God. Because the righteous shall be like a palm tree. Isn't that great imagery? Isn't it great imagery when you open up the Word of God? And you could see these type of things, and then for me to be able to communicate this, oh my goodness, am I a blessed man or what? Amen. Did you know, folks, off the message for a minute, but let me share this. We put it on Facebook, and Jerry LaPlante was in this church for many years, and him and Sharon LaPlante and the Johnsons and the Bourbonnais and Pattersons and who else is here right at the beginning? The Hoffmans and Viva and a few other people. We knew Jerry very, very well. And Jerry was a man who was a palm tree to me. Okay, and Jerry was one of those guys, he could fix it in mostly anything, or at least he thought he could, okay? And he would come, and something happened to Jerry. He was a deacon. You know what a deacon does? A deacon is a doer. And somewhere along the line, God got a hold of this man's heart, and he became an elder. And I would come in this church many mornings, and Michael W. Smith would be blasting in these one, two, three, four 15-inch woofers, and there's one, two, three, four of these, and they have 15-inch woofers in them too, so that's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, so you have eight 15-inch woofers cranked, and Jerry would be lying on the floor here, and he would be crying out to God, and he would be praying for himself, he'd be praying for his family, he would be praying for the church. And when Jerry was in the hospital for coming to the end of his earthly journey, I met his brother Mike. And Jerry would, I would always say, Jerry, in the service, if you think I'm crazy now throwing rocks at you last Sunday, I was really crazy then, because I would stop the service and I'd say, Jerry LaPlante, you stop right now or I'm going to come down there, I'm going to whoop you. We're in church. And he'd stand up and he'd say, yeah, you and whose army? So I'm walking down the hall and these big burly guys are walking towards me. And they said, are you Pastor Ken? I say, yep. They said, we're Jerry's army. And it was his brothers. And one brother, particular Mike, we had an opportunity in the waiting room to share and to share the Lord. And I said to him, I said, do you need Jesus in your life? 9 years later, he didn't know that Emily and Sharon would be at the church here on Thursday afternoon. He had no idea that the Lord got a hold of his heart and he came here. He lives in Brooks Falls. He came to the church at 3:30 at the end of the Connect group, and he walked in, and Emily saw him walking around the halls, and he came to see Linda and I because he wanted to invite Jesus into his life. So what happened was Linda brought him in the office, made sure that he knew exactly what he was doing, because that's important, you know, because just because someone invites Jesus into their life, it doesn't mean that they have an understanding. They need an understanding. So Linda made sure, turns to Emily and says, okay, Emily, lead your uncle to the Lord. And says, but wait, Mike, is it okay if I go and get Sharon? She was still in there talking to Viva. And so Sharon LaPlante and Emily witnessed Mike, their uncle, who Jerry prayed for on this floor for many, many years, make a confession of faith, and his niece had the privilege of doing it. Now, isn't that amazing? Okay? God is on the move in this house, okay? If you're not understanding that or getting it, I'm really, really sorry that you're not, because that is a divine encounter of the best kind. Amen. Fifthly, a palm will be a fruitful tree. Amen. Did you know that the date palm produces up to 600 pounds of fruit each year, and there are many uses for the fruit, including medicine? Camels feed on the date stones. The leaves are used in making a variety of household articles. And likewise, for each of us this morning, a righteous Christian is useful and fruitful. And as you and I grow and improve, so will those around us. So will those around us. And if our growth stops, our ability to lead others will stop along with it. Amen? So we are seeing people coming to know the Lord on January the 7th and already registered to go to YWAM, because what happens is there's fruit in the house. Okay? And continue to be fruitful and to be Don't settle for being 60 feet tall. Go for the full growth, 100 feet tall. Okay? Never mind being limited to 600 pounds of fruit in a year. I declare over you 2,000 pounds of fruit, and that's just the beginning. Then 10,000 pounds of fruit in each of your life. So the righteous Christian is useful and fruitful. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And verse 14 of this psalm says that they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Did you hear that, anyone over 60 years old here this morning? Did you hear that? They will still bear fruit in old age. To younger people, is 60 years old age, or is 60 the new 40? The fruitfulness of the palm tree continues for hundreds of years. Did you know that? For hundreds of years. And the ministry of a Christian may bear fruit for years after he or she has gone home to glory. Amen? This is amazing stuff. And Isaiah 46 and 4, it says, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. Amen? I have a couple more. Is that okay? Sixthly, I should have had a handout for this because this is a good one. If you want the message, listen to it online. If you want the notes, I will just give you, I'll message you, I'll email you the whole message because it's just good. It's encouraging. So the palm tree, it grows in the desert. Palm trees thrive in burning sand under the hot sun in the desert climate. And the Christian also flourishes in difficult places. Amen? Amen? How many of you had difficulties this week? Just show me your hand. How many of you, seriously, you just had difficulties this week? I speak a blessing over you, okay? Blessing. I speak a blessing. Don't smile at me like that. You're trying to draw me in, eh? I'm just kidding. So a palm tree thrives under burning sand. And, it is said of God's people when they were enslaved under Pharaoh that more than being afflicted, the more they grew. And Moses spent 40 years on the backside of the desert, and God was getting him ready to lead the people through the wilderness. John the Baptist was trained in the desert. Jesus was led into the desert to be tempted and to prepare us for his life work. And finally, the palm tree is an oasis of refreshment. Did you know that? Oh my goodness, if I hang out with you, I want you to be refreshment to my spirit. Okay? You too. If I hang with you, I want your walk with God to be refreshment to my spirit. I want to walk away from a conversation with you, Helen, and I want to say, oh my goodness, I feel renewed within my spirit. I feel refreshed. I feel invigorated. I feel by hanging around with you, Alfredo, that I want to go home and I want to open my Bible right to the middle so it opens to the Psalms so that I could get more of what you have. Okay? I want to be refreshed by you. I want to be invigorated by you. I want you and me and everyone else to be an oasis of refreshment. When a traveler looked across the burning sands, dehydrated from thirst, and saw a palm tree, that person's heart leaped with joy because they knew that there was water, shade, food, refreshment for their tired body and for their spirit. And the Christian is like that because Jesus allows us to be a means of refreshment to each other and to the weary world that's around us. Amen? Amen? Get it in your spirit and walk in it. Palm Tree Christians are a means of refreshment to those who live about us. We can speak life. We can speak His word. Jesus refreshes our mind and hearts, and we turn to refresh others around us. We can be an oasis of refreshment to each other and to all those who know us. Amen? Is this encouraging or what? Okay? The possibilities in each of us is incredible. If we would get in more in line with what He says. Wow. You're blowing me away. You're so refreshing, all of you. I can't stand it. I want to turn this way and start worshiping God because I can't even stand looking at you because I see God so much in you that my sins are being exposed. I have to turn away and get right with God because you're so refreshing. You're such an oasis. And as a palm tree Christian, we live in light of God's love. And He will make your life flourish like a palm tree. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let's stand together.